It's time to take a journey, to find your courage, break through your limits, and master your destiny. It's time for Ken D. Foster's Voices of Courage. Ken brings you some of the most courageous people on the planet that will inspire greatness within you and change your life for the better. It's time to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. It's time for Voices of Courage. And here's your host, Ken D. Foster.
Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I have a question for you. Are you ready to take your life, your business to the next level? Maybe next level of success for you? Are you kind of sick and tired of maybe people, politics, places, and things showing up the way they do? Do you want to know why there's so much strife in the country today? Do you want to know the real reason the coronavirus is showing up the way it is at this time? Are you worried about your financial future? Are you worried about your future in general? Listen, I'm going to be talking about a whole bunch of those questions today. Got a couple of great guests on the show today. But before I get to it, I want to just mention one of our new sponsors. If you have a dream to create a wellness product, I'd like you to think about talking to JBK Wellness Labs. They are a respected contract and white label manufacturer who helps companies develop and manufacture dietary supplements, topical personal care, beauty products, and hemp-based CBD products. JBK Wellness products can be found in high-end resorts, including Ritz-Carlton, Four Seasons, as well as national grocery store chains such as Whole Foods. They will walk you through each step from concept to completion. So if you'd like to talk to them about getting to your product to market, I encourage you to do that. Just go to jbkwellnesslabs.com. Again, jbkwellnesslabs.com. All right. Today on our show, we're going to address some really important issues that people are really concerned about right now. So I'm calling this show, The Courage to Influence and Also Stay Calm. The stay calm, I think, is a no-brainer for a lot of people out there, because I think there's still a lot of panic, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of strife, and a lot of people out in the world today. So I'd like to address that. We'll be doing that part with my second guest. But let me ask you something. Are you a person that's ready to really find your voice? And are you a person that like pursues the truth? You're really looking for the science. You're looking for the truth. You're looking for what's real. You know, on this show, we like to talk to real people that are doing real things, that have real wisdom in their makeup, right? And I think that one thing we can all count on right now, I think you'd agree with this, there's a lot of change going on, right? We can always count on there's change. But the change isn't always the change that we want to see. I personally like to see change, but I like to see change that has wisdom behind it. So I'm asking myself constantly, why does there seem to be so little wisdom behind some of the decisions we're making? Whether it be allowing test kits into the United States. I saw an article last night on 60 Minutes where apparently they've banned 21 of the FDA's banned 21 of the testing kits that flooded our markets and we paid millions of dollars for, because quite frankly, they just didn't work. So why? Where's the wisdom in that? I'm sure you're asking yourself that too. Where's the wisdom, right? Well, I have to say that I think there's a lot of really good intentioned people in the world. And I also want to say that I think we live in one of the best countries in the world. We're one of the most generous countries in the world. There's a lot of people that are really trying to do what's right. We got a lot of people on the front lines that are trying to do this, what's right, whether it's the police, the fire, the doctors, the school teachers. They're, you know, most people are trying to do what's right here. But there's a challenge with that, because I think a lot of times we put the cart before the horse. And here's what I mean by that. A lot of people are out there trying to change the world for the better. They really are. Even the rioters are trying to change the world for the better. But here's the problem. They didn't stop to change themselves first. They didn't stop to do the inner work to decide who they are, what they're about. What do they stand for? What are their true values? Who are they as an individual? What do they really want to see society grow to? What's the legacy that they want to leave in the world? Now, most people, like I said, do they're trying to do good things. We're a very generous society. But if you're not doing the inner work, if you're not really tuning in, and this isn't something you do one time, you introspect on your life on a daily basis. I know when I started this lifetime, I was a pretty messed up kid, right? I didn't really know my direction. Now, some kids come in and they know the direction of life. I didn't really know what I wanted to do until I was in my 40s. So I jumped from place to place to place to try to figure it out. And along the way, there was a lot of wisdom in that. There was a lot of just happenstance. I had a lot of courage, but courage without wisdom is dangerous. And I think that's what we got going here in our society today. We have a lot of courage, but there's a lack of wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? Well, wisdom comes from two places that I know, maybe three or four, but a couple that I want to focus on. One is, of course, your own experience. So you put your hand on a hot stove, you realize, oh, I'm not going to do that again. You have a little wisdom. Other ways we can get it, of course, we can get it from other people. We can read biographies. We can read about successful people. We can study business. We can study finance. We can study sociology, physiology, religion, spirituality. You can study anything. You can get other people that have gone down these paths, and you can assimilate their wisdom, right? But those types of wisdom, they're good, but I want to say this. There's a better way for you to obtain wisdom, and that is by introspection, by daily tuning into yourself, taking some quiet time, and really asking yourself, who am I? What's working in my life? What's not working in my life? Where do I want to see my life go? You know, how many people are asking those questions? Sure, we're going out in the world and trying to make change and trying to change things up. And, you know, some people are doing it in a destructive way. They're tearing down, they're burning buildings, they're tearing down statues, they're doing things like that. But a whole bunch of other people aren't. But all of them, I really believe that we need to take some time, tune in, go within ourselves, and start to develop our own wisdom. You know, if you want to change the world, change yourself first. That's my message today. Change yourself first. All right. And by the way, I will mention one other thing for those of you that haven't heard this. I do have a new book out. It is called The Courage to Change Everything. It's Daily Strategies and Essential Wisdom to Unlock Your Inner Genius. And why is that important? Well, if you want to make good choices in your life, if you really want to take your life and look at the areas that maybe aren't working for you. Maybe your relationship's not working. Your finances aren't working. Maybe you have a hard time staying up. Your attitude is poor. You're in a place where you don't know how to connect with people in a good way. Whatever it is, we all got challenges. But those challenges are there not to crush us. They're there to help us grow, evolve, become all we're meant to be. And that's really the message today. If you want to become all you are meant to be, pick up a book like that, The Courage to Change Everything. Or pick up some other book or read something, do something that's going to help grow you. If you grow yourself, I can tell you this, your life will get better and better. If you don't, I can also tell you this, through personal experience and through coaching individuals over the last 26 years, those that remain stagnant, that are afraid of change, those are the ones that create a lot of problems for themselves and their life gets worse and worse. All right, don't let that be you. You can get the book at CourageToChange.us. Again, CourageToChange.us. All righty. Well, I've got my guest here waiting in the wings, and I'm so excited to have Harry Glorkian on my show today. Harry, I'm going to give you a brief introduction, and then we're going to take a break. But I did want to get you introduced to everybody to you. Harry Glorkian is an influential global business expert with more than three decades of experience building successful ventures in North America, Europe, and Asia. Harry's well known for his achievements in life sciences, healthcare diagnostics, healthcare IT industries, and the convergence of all of these areas. Harry, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you, man.
Thank you very much for having me.
Wow. Well, before I take a break, how are you dealing with this corona stuff and everything that's happening in the world where you live in Boston? Let's just start there.
Well, we're lucky. I mean, Massachusetts is, I think it was yesterday they announced that we've had no new cases, which is positive, a good step in the right direction. You know, of course, you know, but every once in a while, I've got to recalibrate myself and my family to sort of adjust accordingly and make sure that nobody goes stir crazy. But, you know, we're healthy and happy and, you know, just very grateful compared to, you know, a lot of other, the way that other, you know, we're not suffering maybe on the same level that many other people are in the country. So we're very lucky and happy that, you know, we are where we are, and we just keep waiting until we develop a vaccine or a therapeutic or, you know, get through this thing, which I don't anticipate until next spring, unfortunately.
Well, you know, you're on the cutting edge of technology and healthcare. What do you see as the biggest impact of technology on what we're doing right now?
Well, I think, you know, the technology has been impacting it since the minute they identified it. I believe that this, we sequenced the genome of this virus in 2 to 4 days, as compared to something like, you know, SARS. When we looked at that, that took us about 4 months. So that gives you sort of a comparison in time periods. And then as soon as we had a sequence, I think the first group developing a vaccine against it had their first candidates within, I don't know, 7 days after that. Mm-hmm. So technology has been moving the ball forward against this very quickly. I mean, it's never as fast as everybody would like. They'd like a magic pill tomorrow. Unfortunately, if you're going to give a drug to a lot of people, you also want, you know, you need to make sure it works and you need to make sure it's safe. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I can give you an example from, you know, I interviewed a gentleman on my podcast recently. He was the star of Pandemic on Netflix. Their company has been able to look at 6 million different variations of the SARS antibodies to find one that will actually neutralize the coronavirus. And they're having very good success. So you could almost see a therapy, not a vaccine, but a therapy approach maybe by the fall. So the good news is if that therapy is available and you get it, at least, you know, if you're very ill, you won't succumb to the disease. And then we'll just have to wait for a widespread vaccine that would probably be early next year to then administer to a large population of people.
Well, that's really good. You know, the sequencing piece of that, that rapid sequencing of the coronavirus that you mentioned, why is that a big deal? I missed that. I didn't understand.
So to understand basically what makes up this disease, finding its weak points, you really do need to understand the sequence of the genomic information. And actually that's done, the company in San Diego called Illumina is the company that makes the instrumentation that has made that sequencing possible. But it's critical to understand, you know, the animal at its core level so that you can understand how to, you know, attack it, manipulate it, or just fight it in general.
I get it. Okay. Well, listen, I got to take a quick break. So when we come back, I'd like to take a little deeper dive in this. And you know what? I had mentioned earlier on the show about that 60 Minutes report where we basically 21 companies that had brought in testing kits into the U.S. have been banned now by the FDA. How does that tie into the work you're doing? And does it tie in? And can we expect some kind of a decent testing of this in the coming future? So think about that. I'll be right back, and we'll answer those questions when we get back.
Got it.
All righty.
We'll be back with more Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
We're back with Voices of Courage. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us. And now your host, Ken D. Foster.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. Today, our show is called The Courage to Influence and Stay Calm. And before I get back to my guest, I'd like to mention that there is an effective natural science-based supplement which will improve the quality of life for people with chronic conditions. And the condition I'm going to talk about is people that have that want to maintain healthy blood sugar levels without negative side effects. The product is called Curalin. It's 100% natural glucose supplement support product. It works by blending an Ayurvedic practices with modern science and technology into a synergistic glucose support formula. So each Curalin capsule is manufactured close to the source using only premium ingredients. Again, this is for somebody that wants to maintain healthy blood sugar levels. To learn more about it, you can go to curealife.com, curealife.com. And when you pick it up on the shop button there, if you put in the word courage, we'll get you a 20% discount and 15% off your orders for the first year. All righty. Also, let me mention this. If you are a woman entrepreneur, and you would like to connect with other like-minded entrepreneurs, there's an organization that's been around since 1991 who bring in the top women entrepreneurs in the world and in the nation that speak to women to help them grow their businesses in life. It's Women's Wisdom is the name of the organization. You can find them at womenswisdom.net. Again, womenswisdom.net. All righty, back to my guest here. Harry... Oh, my goodness, I'm going to butcher your last name. I don't want to do that. Go ahead.
It's okay, Glorikian.
Okay. So, let's just talk about that study on 60 Minutes, the FDA, and they pulled all that. Does that tie into your work at all? Are we going to be able to see – are we going to get a testing kit that really works here shortly?
Well, I think we already have testing kits that have been produced that work effectively. You know, there's a lot of molecular testing that's out there that is accurate. Mm-hmm. I think the ones that you might be referring to are the antibody tests that have shown to be quite hit or miss. And I think it was just the speed at which they were trying to get these tests available that they didn't follow what I would consider the normal process that I'm familiar with at the FDA. Mm-hmm. And that could be for lots of reasons. But I think, and I've done quite a few interviews on this, and, you know, we dropped the ball on the testing. Like, I've never seen us drop the ball, you know, since I've been in this industry. So it's quite disappointing. I can try and talk to you about it from any angle that you'd like.
Well, here's the angle that I think, I meet with a group of doctors every couple of weeks, and their disappointment was the fact that the trust level of the data isn't there, so that the real numbers didn't come in. And so they're still questioning what are the real numbers. And I think that really kind of messed up everybody.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking about this months ago when I was like, if you don't know where the fires are, you don't know where to send the firefighters, you don't know what sort of equipment to send. And the fact that we dragged our feet so much on this, or approved products that gave you false information, just really, you know, made the situation worse than it needed to be. So I think we're getting better, although we're not there yet. So I think there's more that could be done and that needs to be done. But the powers that be are making decisions that affect all of us.
Well, they are. And what happens with those decisions is that not only does it create lack of trust in the scientific community and also in the general population, like you said, we don't know where to put the fire. But let's say that they're going to fix that, because I think we've learned a whole bunch about this from January to now. We know a whole bunch more than we did. So I'm assuming it's going to get better and big data is going to play a part in this. Can you tell me what kind of part do you think big data will play in the future here when we have the next coronavirus or COVID-19 or whatever we call it coming through?
Yeah. So what's important when you're in a situation like this is, you know, as I mentioned, technologies like sequencing, where you can see something happening before it actually happens, right? You can see it coming. It gives you an opportunity to prepare for it. God forbid, once it's here, it sort of gives you an idea of where it is here, right? So, you know, this is a big country. Which corner do I focus on? Who's got it? And then you can do contact tracing to figure out who they got in contact with. And if you're really proactive about that, you can, to a certain degree, get ahead of it and try to contain it as much as possible, like we did with Ebola, right, where we were able to contain it quite rapidly. Coronavirus, because of this, you know, you can be sick for 2 weeks without showing symptoms, makes it much harder to manage because it's invisible during that time period. At least you don't know who to be testing. But that may, you know, bring us to, you need to have widespread testing, so that you can identify those people ahead of time and sort of, again, contain this. But if you don't have the data and you don't know, you might as well be walking around in the dark. Like, it's like playing Marco Polo,
right,
without the person yelling Marco.
That's a great analogy. I'd like to talk a little bit about the contact tracing. I happened the other day, I went on my iPhone and I went into my privacy settings and I went into my health settings and privacy, and there showed up a little thing at the top. It says COVID-19 exposure logging off. And anyway, there's a little app now here that I guess I can track or somebody can track something that's going on with COVID-19. Are you familiar with that at all, or what does that do?
I'm not familiar with what the way that Apple has built its back end, but I did interview a company that has been doing contact tracing for some time, but in an industrial setting.
Yeah.
So imagine, you know, you're walking through like a mining area and somebody's about to step into a big hole. The contact tracing app would warn the person, like, be careful, there's a big hole over there you don't want to fall into.
Yeah.
So it sort of monitors their position. Mm-hmm. But the way that they've designed it is it has no personal information in there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so these systems are purpose-built that you can see how they can be used in a situation like this and still keep people's information private. I just think that right now, again, as we said with tests that have come out on the market that maybe shouldn't have been there, there might be people developing applications for contact tracing that aren't taking privacy, you know, into the same level of consideration that they should.
Well, and, you know, that, of course, that brings up, some of the privacy issues. You know, I mean, what happens if, that data is used for big pharma and, you know, all of a sudden now somebody's tracing me I've got a cold, and all of a sudden on my iPhone starts showing up, hey, all the cold remedies that I need to take. You know, so I think there's a little concern about that out there.
I think that's happening anyway. Yeah. At a level
that I already know it's happening. Yeah, it's
at a level that most people don't understand.
Yeah.
But you know, I try to talk about how data is going to change the whole space in my book.
Yeah.
To make people aware that there's a huge positive to utilizing this data. Whether you have, let's say, cancer and there's a way to sequence the tumor so that you can find certain therapies that might work better for you versus somebody else, or price transparency, where prices have to be transparent to you before you sign up for a procedure.
I love that.
So there's a lot of really positive areas where the data will make a difference in people's lives in sort of keeping them healthy as well as decreasing cost.
I love that.
Which well, I listen, think everybody
I,
Harry, would want.
Harry, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about Moneyball Medicine, your book. And I want to take a little dive into that book, because that book, I love what you just said. You know, there's a lot of positive outcomes that have come from this. I think we have to get over the hurdles of the misinformation, the fear, and the, you know, and how that's going to happen, the privacy. But in the long run, there's going to be a lot of positives, I believe. That's my thinking. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. We'll be right back, and we'll dive into Harry's new book, Moneyball Medicine. All righty.
We'll be back with more Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
Hi, this is Ken D. Foster. Are you an author or would-be author? If so, a few of my New York Times best-selling author friends, some of my book marketing strategist friends, and I are going to be teaching you how to write, market, and launch your book to bestseller status. And get this, no cost to you. You're going to learn from the experts that I use, their formulas, and their simple steps to make your book a bestseller. So find out how to do this at couragetochange.us/invite, couragetochange.us/invite. There are, I think we have 12 master teachers in the class right now. You're going to learn things you never knew about book marketing. I can tell you that because I've been marketing books for the last 15 years, and I've learned a whole bunch from the experts that I brought on. Hope you'll join us at couragetochange.us.
We're back with Voices of Courage. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us. And now your host, Ken D. Foster.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster, Voices of Courage show. Today, we're talking about the courage to influence and also to stay calm. The stay calm part's coming up in my later segments. But right now, I want to thank all of you for tuning in. I really appreciate you letting your friends, family, and associates know about this show. All of the replays are available at voicesofcourage.us. And if you'd like to play our podcast, you're driving in your car, wherever, you know, just tell Siri, Alexa, or Cortana to play Voices of Courage podcast, and it'll come right up for you. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on all the social medias. And if you like the show, please go there and give us a like. Let your family and friends know about it. So we really appreciate you doing that. All righty. Today, my guest is Harry Glorkian, and he's an influential global business expert with more than three decades of experience building successful ventures in North America, Europe, and Asia. He's got a book out. It's called Moneyball Medicine. Harry, I'm glad we're here. One more segment with you. Moneyball Medicine. Why did you write the book?
Oh, I've been thinking about it for quite some time. And, you know, in, of course, you know, trying to work on this in my spare time, it took 3 or 4 years to get it done. But it's basically to inform people and inform people in the healthcare industry that data is going to change the way that they practice medicine, change the way that we develop drugs, change the way that patients are going to manage themselves, because now that data is available to them as opposed to having to get it just from, say, the ivory tower. Mm. So I thought it was very important to start writing this, and I'm actually working on my third book now, as a follow on to this one. But it's a never ending dynamic where you can see that this data is going to help us keep patients healthy, and that would reduce cost in the system. So if we reduce cost in the system, it costs everybody less, and everybody wants to be healthy. So it's a win-win dynamic if we utilize this correctly.
That's great. Well, listen, in the book, I know you interviewed individuals, you know, people from pharma, people from clinicians, diagnostic individuals in the book. What'd you learn from them as you were writing this book?
What I found was quite interesting. It's you know, everybody wants to, at least all the people that I spoke to want to move the ball in the right direction to sort of make sure that drugs come to market faster, that they're able to identify patients that might be susceptible to certain diseases that they can identify sooner, or that if you have a disease, they might see it before it actually becomes a problem. And then, like, you know, we mentioned earlier gene sequencing, but using sequencing technology in case you have a disease like cancer, where you can identify, let's put it this way, the personality of that tumor, so you know how to deal with it more accurately than you would just generally giving different drugs at different time points.
That's really great. Well, that's an optimistic future. I really like that. You know, there are, I'm sure, right today, I know it for myself personally, there's a lot of misinformation and what do I want to say, limitations right now that I've been placed, you know, I don't know if it's mainstream media or whatever it is, you know, but I want to know how data is really going to help me in the future. And I think you've touched on it several times in the book. How do you explain that so a lay guy like myself gets it?
So there's different examples depending on the chapter, but, you know, let's say for the oncology chapter, it goes through how it goes through a patient example in the beginning.
Yeah.
To give sort of a real world example, but then it, you know, transitions into, you know, what is the technology and how someone would use it, and you know, how a physician would want to incorporate this and how they treat you. There are examples of how the Apple Watch can be sort of a sentinel that's watching, mm-hmm. and that's able to identify a heart condition or potentially other disease factors that you may want to know about. One of the, you know, I can give you an example that I have an app on my iPhone and my Apple Watch. It's called Cardiogram, and it watches for different diseases like sleep apnea and arrhythmia, or whether you're pre-diabetic. And at one point, I remember I hadn't opened the app for a while. I opened it up and it said, Harry, have you ever been diagnosed with sleep apnea? And I said, yes. And it said, are you being treated for sleep apnea? And I said, yes. And it said, thank you so much for, you know, contributing to our research. But basically, it sort of threw up the red flag of, if I hadn't said yes, it probably would have said, you may want to go have this checked out. And so some of these diseases are things that you can't see if you're not monitoring it. In other words, think of the light that comes on in your car to say, warning, something's not right. You may want to have it checked out before it becomes a full-blown problem.
Right.
And, okay, you need a little bit more oil. Maybe we need some more air in the tires. It's not a major overhaul. It's just beware that you're heading in this particular direction. And there's a lot of really interesting technologies coming down the pike to help patients manage themselves better. Even if you're super healthy, you know, this is a complicated machine. If you don't have the right gauges and sensors, you may not see something is wrong until it's too late.
Wow. Okay. What did your experts and what do you see as the dangers that could, you know, how could this technology be used in a negative way And is the technology itself safe? I guess those two questions. But, you know, in other words, have we determined that wearing an Apple Watch on our wrist with the, you know, the G5 or 5G or whatever coming in, is that okay for us? You know, or do you know, is the research in yet? Do we even know?
I haven't seen anything from that standpoint that, that makes me, that, you know, gives me the eebie-jeebies that I could see so far. But the places where I would be most concerned is, do our the representatives in Washington understand how quickly the technology is moving, and are they putting in the right laws to be able to protect patients accordingly? That's where I would be super concerned, right? Because that's where you can have, you know, data go wrong or be used in the wrong way. Or,
well, yeah, you know, even what you said, you know, my Apple Watch came up and said, hey, do you have sleep apnea? And you answered the questions, right? Where'd that data go? I'm like, oh, right? That's the part I think we're talking about there that could go super wrong unless we have the right legislation. Yep. But, you know, it's interesting. So we got all these, you know, we got a lot of people in Congress and in Senate and, you know, and in different legislatures and all the state senates and Congress houses. And a lot of them aren't really that tech savvy. How do we get them up to speed so they know the laws to pass? What do we do there?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I've actually sent the book to quite a few people in Congress and the Senate and urged them to sort of read one or two of the chapters to give them, you know, whether they read it or not, I have no idea. But I think that if they're not staying ahead of it, technology is moving too fast for them not to be there. I mean, you wouldn't want to be denied insurance.
Right.
That's because of something. And so that's where I would be worried the most. And then we could sort of cascade down from there of other issues.
That's great. Okay. So I see a whole bunch of Moneyball Medicine book spot right behind you. Would you, for our viewing audience, let's go ahead and show them what it looks like and want to let them know that they can get this. I'm taking it on Amazon. Is that correct, Harry?
That's correct.
Okay. And any other place. So let's see that one more time. A beautiful book. I know I have it here in my office somewhere. I looked all over for it this morning to bring it on the show. I couldn't find it. Sorry. I'd be holding it up instead of you. But it's a beauty. Well done. And I really like the book. It will enlighten you and give you information on the coming technological changes and how to be able to really be prepared for them is what I get. So,
yeah, I mean, between this and the podcast I have by the same name, I try to cover a lot of the same subjects, except, you know, keep it up to date for people that are out there.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's good. What's the name? So the podcast is Moneyball Medicine. So I guess they just Google it or find that.
It's on iTunes. It's on Stitcher. It's on, you know, Spotify. It's sort of everywhere. If you just Google it, it'll come right up.
Okay, that's great.
Moneyball Medicine Podcast.
Okay, that's great. Well, listen, I'm not, I got to take a break here. I'm hoping my next guest is in studio, but they're not. You and I will continue on. So,
excellent.
I will be right back.
We'll be back with more Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
We're back with Voices of Courage. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us. And now your host, Ken D. Foster.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. Today our show is called The Courage to Influence and Stay Calm. And I want to give you an update on one of my sponsors. They're JBK Wellness. And if you haven't heard me talk about them before, pay attention. If you are a person that would like to develop, you have a supplemental product, you have a topical personal care product, you have a beauty product or a hemp-based CBD product, and you want to get that product to market. How the heck do you do it? Well, I can tell you how to do it. There's an organization called JBK Wellness Labs, and they are here in Southern California. They will walk you through step 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. They will do whatever it takes to help you to bring your dream, your product. You know that product, the one you've been working on, that idea you've had that's going to really make the world a little better place because you brought that product to market. That's what they do. They specialize in that. So if you'd like to check them out, you can go to the website, jbkwellnesslabs.com. Again, jbkwellnesslabs.com. And I encourage you to reach out to them. Don't let that product sit in your head. Get your dreams out of your head and get them into the world. We need your products and services, and JBK will help you do that. All right. Also, I want to thank amazing content that some of my sponsors provide. I have a few sponsor shows, I should say, the networks we're on. I want to give a shout out to UK Health Radio Network, also E360 TV, TalkRadio.NYC, TalkRadio.NYC, and a new one, Podopolo, P-O-D-O-P-O-L-O. They are taking podcasting and they're gamifying it. It's really a unique concept. But here's the key. All four of those networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve your problems, uplift your spirit, become healthy, vital, and the best version of yourself. So I'll help you check them all out at ukhealthradio.com, talkradio.nyc, Podopolo, P-O-D-O-P-O-L-O.com, and E360TV.com. Julie, welcome to the show. Yay, you're here. You made it. All right. Welcome back, because you've been here before. Hi.
Hi. Thanks. Thanks for having me back. It's so nice to see your face.
Yeah, it's great.
Even though we're normally on the other side of that desk and we can feel each other's energy, somehow I'm feeling it.
I've learned to feel people's energy through this medium now. And when we first started out, I thought it was just technology. I couldn't feel anything. And I thought, well, what if I shifted my headspace and just went, why can't I feel you? I see you. I see your emotions. I see what you're doing. So what if you're not 6 feet away from me? I can see you 60,000 miles away. It still works.
Yes, it does.
Well, let me introduce you, Julie. When life gets crazy, can you keep your cool? Well, my guest today is a mindful expert, Julie Podeker. She's an author of a new book, Life Falls Apart, But You Don't Have To. Mindful methods for staying calm in the midst of chaos. And I think we can all use that. Julie, how can mindfulness be a part of people's lives today with this pandemic going on and everything that's happening?
Wow. So...
I'm just going to jump right into that. So let's do it.
Okay. So mindfulness helps us pause and it helps us get grounded in the right here and right now. Everything is so upside down. And what mindfulness can help people do is stop worrying and stop ruminating. So that when you're feeling overwhelmed and panicked, you can do some of these really simple tools that I can discuss with you so that people can stop the discursive loop of worrying and ruminating and calm down. And then they'll realize right in this moment, I'm okay.
Well, I have a question. This is for anybody on my show that's listening today. Have you ever made a really great decision when you're worried and stressed out? I don't know about you, but I haven't. I've made poor choices.
Right. You know why that is, Ken. And I know you know why that is, because your brain's kind of not online. When you're feeling panic and fear and anger and whatever else that is, that's your amygdala kind of hijacking your prefrontal cortex. So you're not able to make a more skillful response. So with mindfulness, you slow yourself down and you get all your brain regions integrated and you're able to make a more skillful response. Okay.
Well, so, mindfulness, when I think about that, I think a lot of my audience would go, oh, mindfulness, what's that? That's some new age concept. What is something that I need to not pay attention to because it doesn't fit into my understanding? What is mindfulness at the essence of it, Julie?
The essence of it is paying attention to what you're doing when you're doing it without judging it, without harsh judgment. And it's funny when you say new age because it's, at least 3,000 years old. And the way I teach it and the way I learned it is completely neuroscience based. So as a former attorney, I'm not your new age guru person. I'm looking for the evidence-based tools and techniques to help our brains calm down. And meditation, as most of your listeners probably already know, unless they've been living in a cave, right? Meditation can slow aging. It reduces inflammation. It reduces anxiety, depression. It increases well-being. Even the ends of our telomeres don't shrink like they do when we age. Your gray matter gets thicker. I mean, it's unbelievable how much control we have over our bodies and our emotions just by what we think in our brain, which is what you teach, Ken.
Well, it is. Yeah, my website, people can get my science and meditation guide. And basically it's articles from MIT and Harvard and Stanford and all the mindful research that's been done, that will help you if you're not meditating. You know, here's the thing that got me with meditation. It's, this little part of the brain right here. What's that called?
Your dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, yeah, the side.
The side. Yeah. That guy right there. So, I had a fellow that's coming on my show. He wrote a book called The Buddha Never Had Alzheimer's, right? And his research shows that this is right the area that the meditation builds the cells, right where the Alzheimer's hits, right where it hits, right? So I went, wow, that's really cool. I think I'm going to really get into this.
I was a depressed person when I was younger, you know, in my 30s, it actually hit me. It started with postpartum depression and then it just sort of stuck. Mm. And it was meditation that got me through that. Mm. So it's very powerful. And to think that in 12 minutes a day, you can change your life like that. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, it is, you know, and I think a lot of people out there are, they're kind of shame driven. They're guilt driven. They're whether they know it or not, most of the things they're doing, a lot of things they're doing is just because they don't want to feel that guilt. They don't want to feel the shame. So they go out and do a lot of things. But that's not necessarily life to live. I know that you talk a lot about inspired living. Can we touch a little bit on that? And how does that work with neuroscience in the brain?
Inspired living. So what I want to help people do is build resilience, right? So the shame that you talked about, the guilt that you talked about, those are difficult emotions. And we can learn, instead of running away from those emotions, to feel them and label them. That calms your brain down when you label them, and then to work with them. So, you know, it's sort of cliche, but what you resist persists, and what you can feel, you can heal. We can actually notice, which is the mindfulness piece, that shame is coming up or anxiety or fear or whatever. We can name it. Oh, that's anxiety coming up. I feel it in my solar plexus or in my jaws or in the back of my head or wherever it is. And you can touch that place where you feel it, which starts to calm your brain down because you're releasing oxytocin and endorphins when you do that soothing touch. That's the mammalian caregiver response thing. I hope I'm not throwing too much science out, but you asked me. So anyway, you're calming down. And then you tell yourself, what do I need to hear right now? Right? And so you're treating yourself like you would treat a dear friend, which is self-kindness, which is one of the pillars of mindful self-compassion that I teach. Oh, Julie, sweetheart, it's hard to feel this. It hurts to feel this. You know what? We're in a global planetary pandemic. Oh my gosh, billions of people are feeling like this right now, just like me. And that connecting to common humanity. I mean, we've never been more connected, Ken, than we are right now, right? This whole world is suffering COVID-19 together. So you can hold that close. You can take that in. You can touch that. You can mingle that. You can release love and light and peace and ease.
I really like that, Julie. Well, listen, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, though, I would like to take a little deeper dive into your new book. And that book is really changing lives and how people look at life. So let's take a dive into that when we get back. I'll be right back.
We'll be back with more Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
We're back with Voices of Courage. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us. And now your host, Ken D. Foster.
All righty, everybody. Well, welcome back to our show today. And what a show we have, man. We're going from science to science. We're going from the science of technology and what's going on with the virus. Now we're going into the science of neurology. And we're talking about the brain and mindfulness. My guest, Julie Podeker, has a new book out. And I'd like to take a little dive into that. It's called Life Falls Apart, But You Don't Have To. I mean, really, that title kind of says it all, Julie. how do we not fall apart? Go ahead. When somebody pushes our buttons, right?
How we not fall apart is we ground ourselves, right? We pause. So all of the things that I teach us to do in this book are helpful for life. It's ground yourself through the soles of your feet. How are you going to find the pause? Can you meditate? So that helps you pause. I meditate. That helps me pause. Let's say we didn't want to meditate. What could we do to stop the discursive loop of worrying and ruminating? We could have our beverage as a mindful moment. Right? I'm going to do it right now. So I can feel the mindfulness piece. The palm of my hand is a little cool because the water's cool in this paper cup. And then I felt in my mouth the wetness. All of that was just a moment where I noticed what I was doing instead of what I was going to say next. That was a mindful moment. When I'm cooking, it's a mindful activity. If I'm not ruminating and worrying. When I'm brushing my teeth with my eyes closed, it's mindfulness. I'm feeling the toothbrush in my mouth. I'm tasting the toothpaste. I'm hearing the sound of the electric toothbrush. Walking outside in nature, oh my gosh. For people that are quarantined at home, if they have some ability to walk around in nature and open up all their sense doors, don't listen to the news. If they're listening to something, just feel the air, see the sights, see the colors, hear what you hear, feel your feet walking on the earth, all of those sense and savor walks. That's a fantastic mindfulness exercise. So there's all kinds of ways we can give our brain a break during the day.
Julie, do you think mindfulness, just mindfulness alone will work? Let's say somebody's been in an abusive relationship and then left it, and now they're on their own. But you know, somebody says something to him now and it reminds him of what happened in the past. Do you think mindfulness can really help just heal that those old past challenges or thoughts or beliefs that people have, or do you think we need more?
I think it's a difficult question that you're asking. And I think that people that have experienced trauma should have a therapist that's a trauma specialist help them. And I know that there's tons of psychologists online right now doing telemedicine, and trauma is a subspecialty of a lot of therapists. As you know, I'm not a therapist. I'm a recovering lawyer, so it wouldn't be me. But I would recommend therapy for trauma work, EMDR for trauma work, you know, DBT for trauma work.
Okay. Let's talk about, in your book, I think you talk about this concept, but if not, you can let us know. rain, let's talk about rain when it's raining on us. Okay. I love your formula around this because I think everybody can practically use it right
now. Yeah. So I love this. And I didn't create it. It's been around for decades, but hundreds of teachers teach it and I love teaching it. And that's kind of like what we talked about before, but I didn't name it. Rain is recognize, allow, investigate, and nourish. So the recognize piece is labeling the emotion. Mm-hmm. The allowing piece is allowing it to be there. The investigating piece is gently investigating why you feel that way, what's going on in the situation. And then the nourish piece is the self-kindness talk. What do I need to hear right now? And then I add the experience-dependent neuroplasticity piece to rain, which is what do I need to do right now to change the channel? And that involves, Ken, pulling up a memory of when you felt good and re-experiencing it, reabsorbing it, marinating it, so that you're rewiring another neural bridge. What fires together wires together. You're making another happy bridge in your brain.
Well, you know, when you did that, I brought up in my memory the last time you were with me on the show, and I just brought a smile to my face because I really loved it. And I would say, you know, another way to say that is what you focus on, you feel, right? If we're focusing on something that's joyful and loving you, we start to feel it in our bodies. For me, I've noticed, depending on how far I've spun down into the dark zone, if I can catch it quickly, I can just stay calm all the time, right? In a joyful place. So it really has to do with becoming more mindful of our thoughts. Am I accurate about that? I mean, it's you become the observer of the thoughts.
Right, but it's more than your thoughts. And you did it just now in your body because I felt it. It's your thoughts have an effect on your emotions. And your emotions, of course, you feel all over your whole body.
Right.
Because you're not just a brain up in your head. So we're these embodied energetic creatures, right? And so you can really control a huge percentage of your mood by what you're thinking in your head.
That's really good. I love that. Well, listen, I'm running out of time, unfortunately. It went by like that.
It did.
It's like that. So listen, compassion, have said, you know, if you're going to have an epidemic or a pandemic, let's have compassion in our lives. I love you. Talk about that. I'm going to have you back again because we just barely scratched the surface. Julie, where can they get your the book, Life Falls Apart, But You Don't Have To?
Amazon.
Okay.
Google Julie Potiker and check out my website because my podcast, since the pandemic started, I've been putting up new meditations every single week. So there's just a really great array. And Patty Lane has been making little videos of my meditation. So my YouTube channel, like for people that don't want to close their eyes, there's gorgeous nature meditations, nature scenes going along with my meditations.
Oh, that's so cool.
So it's mindfulmethodsforlife.com.
That's what I was going to ask you. Mindfulmethodsforlife.com. Mindfulmethodsforlife.com. That is so cool. All right. Well, Julie, thank you again for being here. Thank you all of you for listening today. If you like what you heard and you want to hear more, go to our website. You can get all of our shows censor-free on our website at voicesofcourage.us, voicesofcourage.us. If you'd like to pick up my book, it's courage2change.us, courage2change.us. And if you'd like to email us and let us know your questions or comments, you can email us to viewer@voicesofcourage.us. Again, thank you all for listening, and I hope you're having a blessed next week filled with a lot more mindfulness, a lot less fear, and a lot more compassion in your life. Take care.
Thanks for joining us for Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us. And we're always interested in what you have to say. So follow Ken on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or email your questions and comments to viewer@voicesofcourage.us. Also, you can find all of Ken's previous shows by visiting voicesofcourage.us. Be sure to join us next time as Ken brings more stories of courage that will inspire greatness within you and change your life for the better. Until next time, live courageously and see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. This has been Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster.